All right. This is where we deviate from history podcasts. This is where you actually lead like a Roman. See, the Romans very much believed that it's not good to remain behind your books and your theories and your podcasts and your bookmarked YouTube videos. We know this because it was done widely to Roman leaders. It was done to Marcus Aurelius, for example, and he did it to others. He took people from behind their books, as it was said, and brought them to the general's tent. I'm challenging you to do the same. I wouldn't tell you a funny story about Nero falling on his rear end without there being a higher purpose. Today we're going to conclude the Triumph series and talk about three big strategies that you can use today, regardless of where you are in your journey. So first we're going to talk about, number one, how to build a shared venue for praise. Now, I've told you that praise is strength. It's not a weakness. But you need to have a venue, and it needs to be authentic. I'm going to tell you how. Secondly, I want to talk about what qualifies as praiseworthy. We are at a point where we are praising people for things that we shouldn't be praising them for. We're either overpraising, or we're underpraising, or we're going above and beyond in praise and not getting the results that we want. So let's talk about three things that you should be praising for. Then you'll have a criteria. You can see where it makes you look good, it makes them look good. Many times it's a win-win-win-win scenario, a quadruple win. Lastly, I want to talk about what happens when projects keep going and you've got a lead, even though some project just keeps on going and going and going and going. That's a tough situation to be in because you're not in control of that, but you have to endure. So I'm going to give you some pointers about how to do that. That said, let's make it happen. It's Lucas, and this is my study of the ancient art of leadership. I call it Lead Like a Roman. Okay, let's take what we've learned and put them into three actionable things. The first thing that I want to recommend to you is that we need to, number one, build a shared venue for success and accomplishments. And this can be like a meeting, for example. It can be an informal meeting. It can be a formal meeting. It can be whatever you want. But there really needs to be that venue where you can talk about successes and accomplishments. Many leaders have difficulty creating a formal venue for praise. Confessedly, I don't like pizza parties with fake awards and when leaders tell their team to celebrate because they hit 10,000 productivity units or widgets or things or whatever it is. If there's no context behind it, if there was no accomplishment along the way, it's a hard sell on people, right? They go to this canned pizza party and celebrate something that they really didn't care about from the beginning. What I like is when you tell people about the purpose of why they are at work. We're all here to make money. We are all here to make money. That is not the point. The point is understanding what we did that actually contributed to the overall direction of the company. That's what you need to be focusing on. Now, some people don't like it when I tell them this because they and their bosses don't even know how their department contributes to the direction of the company. It's a topic that I'll get into in another podcast because going to your boss and telling him that requires tact and it requires strategy. So here's what I recommend. I recommend that you hold a success accomplishments meeting monthly because people need to know who is accomplishing what. You as the official boss or as the unofficial boss, let's say you have some extra influence in your department, provide a rundown of everything that was done over the month. I mean, if you're the official boss, this is something you really need to know. If you're the unofficial boss, perhaps it's a good time to talk about something that's interesting. Aside from the KPIs that you all are under, maybe it's a good time to talk about other things that were accomplished. Anything that was really accomplished is a good topic. I should say, anything is better than nothing. It's all good. Remember how we talked about the triumph educating? There needs to be that forum that has a bit of education about what was done. And remember how it affected the Romans, even when there was bad news. Even when there were people who were popular and they died, they still showed what happened. Then, and I like to do this, go around the room. Ask people, what's the thing you're most proud of accomplishing? And all answers are good. There are no wrong answers here. It's not to put people on the spot, but it gives them the chance to speak, particularly introverts. You know, introverts have great ideas, but they're used to being boiled out of the conversation. So we don't want to put people on the spot, but what we do want to do is help people contribute. They've got great ideas. They have things that they're proud of. Let's talk about them. It goes back to the triumph, celebrating us as a team. As you go through and listen to people talk about what they're proud of, pick at least one from each person. Tell them how it was received by other department heads or vendors or anybody that you know, any kind of compliments. I really believe that these third-party compliments help us when we go to work. They help to reinforce the fact that we're making a difference. Oftentimes, people don't communicate enough. When somebody has got a victory like that, it's important to let them know. It also is something that benefits you. You're telling them good news. It benefits you. It benefits them because they're the recipient of that good news. The team wins because it happened on the team. So everybody wins here. If you don't have a title for this meeting, call it the 44 meeting, for example. And then you say, well, what's the 44 meeting? Well, that's how many items the team has accomplished this year. So you give it a name like that. And 44 is just an example. It can be 33 or 22 or 105. Whatever the things that were accomplished this year that you have, that's the number of things that the meeting is going to be called. From a power perspective, this bit of propaganda will spread to the other teams. Somebody will say, well, I've got to go to my 44 meeting right now. They say, what's the 44 meeting? They say, oh, it's just, these are the things that we accomplished during the year. Oh, well, nobody does that on my team. So instead of calling it an accomplishments meeting or something that sounds very MBA, call it the 44 meeting or the 3 meeting or the 5 meeting or something that makes somebody question, what is that? I love this because, as I said, it's win-win-win. Everybody wins from this. Nobody loses. And it's better than a pizza party, and it's better than handing out fake awards. You're really talking about, why are we here? How are we accomplishing the mission? We're all here to get paid, but we really want to make sure that our time is being used to make a difference. So that's number one. That's my first bit of advice. My second bit of advice has to deal with defining what qualifies as praiseworthy. I want to tell you a little bit about this. So we need to have a framework for praise. When you praise someone, how does it benefit you as well as them? How do we make this win-win and not, as most people think, just a one-sided thing? In my opinion, leaders tend to abuse praise too much or withhold it too much, and either way is wrong. Let me give you an example. I see this all the time. When somebody's calling somebody else a rock star because they did what they were supposed to do, it eventually means nothing. It's not sincere. They're kind of lying in a way. Nobody will tell you that it's not sincere and people will not stop you, but they know privately that you just say that to everyone. On the other hand, if you're not giving praise to anyone, then people start to fear you. They know that they can never please you, so why try? So this works over the short term. I mean, I can get anyone to be afraid of me in the short term by saying that their work is terrible, they're not measuring up to expectations, but that's not leading. That's not inspiring anybody. Inspiring people means having a threshold where when somebody goes across that, it's worthy of your praise. I've got 3 scenarios for you for when you should praise somebody. Number one, the first scenario in which you should praise somebody is when somebody does cross-functional work effectively. So ancient and modern leaders have always needed people to work well cross-functionally. In a generic example, like somebody in the accounting department and somebody in my department work together. Well, both areas cooperated well to accomplish something. In public situations, you would ideally even want to do a shout-out, like a dual shout-out, someone on their team and someone on our team. It makes you look great that you're acknowledging these things and that you're acknowledging somebody else's team and that you're acknowledging somebody on that person's team. So this is one of those triple win situations. The 2 people who did the work win, you win, the other department head wins, the other team wins. I mean, it's a quadruple win. How many times in life do you get a quadruple win? So that's scenario 1. When people work together across barriers, it is absolutely praiseworthy. It doesn't matter whether it's today or 2,000 years ago. People who are cross-functional are extremely valuable, and you need to encourage them to continue to do more of that. Praiseworthy scenario two. When someone did something that really stood out, I see it as three separate reasons when somebody does something that really stands out. They put in a lot of effort into something, a lot of extra effort, I should say. They did something that was actually great, or they acted in a way that was in accordance with the mission. You know, the team mission, for example. You set the tone of the mission. If somebody does something that's in accordance with that, it's a praiseworthy thing. So any of these three things, extra effort, they did something that was legitimately great, or something that's in line with the values of the team. Acknowledge that. Some larger companies do this a lot better than smaller companies. I'm reminded of when I worked for a large company, and I went above and beyond for a customer whose husband passed away. She wrote a letter to the CEO. The CEO wrote me personally. Not an email, but an actual letter. We can say that, oh, this is in line with corporate values and whatever else. But him writing to me and thanking me personally was saying, this is in line with my own values, and I was moved by it. That meant a lot more to me personally than some generic word for corporate values or something along those lines. So that's the second scenario. Someone is praiseworthy when they did something that really stood out. The third scenario. Someone is praiseworthy when a department head, vendor, or customer says they made a difference. I personally don't care who it was, but if somebody from the outside says somebody did something that was great, I always pass on that compliment. If it's a public situation, give a shout out. Hey, I'd like to give a shout out to the head of sales and to so-and-so who's on my team because head of sales let me know it and the person on my team did the work. So I want to compliment them both. See, that's double praise. It's a win-win. It needs to be accurate and sincere. So if someone didn't do a great job, don't call it out and don't keep calling on the same person every time. But it's another one of those situations where you win if you're praising others. You show support for your colleague. You show support for someone on your team. And ultimately, the praise comes back to you without you praising yourself. So that's the final scenario. It is praiseworthy when a department head or vendor or customer says somebody made a difference. You should pass on that compliment. Don't withhold it. The final piece of advice that I have for you, number three, is when you do not know where something will end, it is important to celebrate along the way. We've talked about how Romans would accomplish something and then celebrate, and that's how it's done in modern times. But what happens if the project keeps going on and on and on and on? Sometimes software projects are called death march projects. It's a little dramatic, but it means that it just keeps going on and on and on, and nobody wants to be a part of it anymore. It's a very difficult situation as a leader to have to deal with leading in an environment like this. So what do you do? Well, if you don't know when a project will end and it has no ending date and your leaders aren't giving you any end in sight, think about it. When a project goes for years, it's going to harm your ability to form a venue for accomplishment, number one. It's going to harm your ability to determine what is worthy of praise. That's number two. Because nothing can be praised because nothing can be finished. So I want you to look out for unending projects, even minor ones, as taking power away from you. And that's why you need to take that narrative back. Through no fault of your own, unending projects can blow up your team. Because we're not celebrating for a long time, it harms morale, and it increases attrition. Just people just get up and quit. I'm done. So I want you to think about this as my third piece of advice. Celebrate small victories. You don't need to accomplish something huge to have a small victory. Whatever it is, people will remember it. People will remember something that's fun, even if it's just something that's a little bit with a limited budget. If you do this correctly, regardless of where it ends, you were still victorious because you were celebrating along the way. Little victories, small little victories and ways to show you care can be so much more meaningful than waiting until the end to praise. That's my third piece of advice. So this concludes our series on the Roman triumph and creating a venue of praise, or a ritual of praise. They did it in ancient times. We do it today. The first bit of advice I gave to you was to build the shared venue. I recommended that you do a success accomplishments meeting. Second thing is to define what qualifies as praiseworthy. I gave you some examples there. The third one is I gave you some pointers about how to make the best of a situation where you don't know where it's going to end. All right. So feedback. Got an idea or comment? Come visit me, leadlikearoman.com. You can contact me directly. Follow me on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever fine podcasts are streamed. Now go make it happen. I'll see you next time.